Good morning, brothers and sisters. Morning. Today's Bible reading is going to be from Isaiah chapter 40. Now, if anyone doesn't have a Bible, put your hand up and someone will bring around one to you. And the Bible reading is from page 586 in the Church Bibles. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 40, starting from verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 80, and it is found on page 831. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as is said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
think that's for a short person. Welcome, everybody. My name is Anthony, and today I'll be preaching you from the passage just read. It's interesting, this morning I was driving and I came to a red light. I wanted to turn left and there was a green arrow. And the car in front of me was going straight. And then the weirdest thing happened. The car changed lanes so I could turn left. It's a miracle. I've never seen that before in all the years of my driving. Does anyone know what this is? Yeah, it's a jar. That's correct. Anyone know what it is? It's pickles. It's cut mango drowned in chili, garlic, and salt. How long do you think it'll last? Forever. Preserved and enduring forever is this chili. How long do you think it takes to eat it? Forever. Goes great on a ham sandwich, just so you know. I'm not sure if everyone here can tolerate it. Is anyone here who can tolerate it? It's not for the faint-hearted. It's quite hot. And don't put too much on. It's like Vegemite. If you put too much on, it's all over. Zechariah and Elizabeth have preserved the message of the gospel all of their lives. They are part of a minority among the Jewish people under an oppressive Roman Empire. They have endured faithfully all of their lives. We know they are people who trust in God and they think about God's goodness all of the time. Also, Elizabeth is barren, and Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. They've been around a while. They have endured and preserved in the gospel for many years and have taught the people and pastored the people for decades. We, the people, we attend church. We are in a minority. We come to church to think about the goodness of God and his kingdom. And so we need to think about the hope that we have received. We need to think about the hope that we have received. Preserving the message of the gospel is a good thing. One of my favorite songs to sing at Christmas, though I think it's been largely forgotten, as Gary told me he doesn't know it, is called Every Promise. Does anyone know this song? Got two nods, three, four, couple of people. Excellent. Anyway, the words are, I'm not going to sing it. I'm worried about my voice. It's not working properly. Every promise of our God, it finds its yes in his own Son. Blessings to his people come in abundance through the One. In Christ, God's glory is revealed, his grace, his faithfulness is shown, and so we live in certain hope. The God of truth, our fortress strong. I think that's it for the song. It's great. It doesn't have four or five verses. You sing that a couple of times, and hopefully you're reminded that we live in a certain hope, one that lasts forever, because God is strong. So let us think more about Zechariah and Elizabeth. God decided to intervene at the time Zechariah and Elizabeth can't have children. This kind of sign has been seen in the past is of the Lord God doing something special through barren women. You think of Sarah, you think of Hannah, a couple of others. But God does extraordinary things through barren women. The search for the seed, the Son of God, is always present. The search for the Messiah is what the people of God are always looking forward to. Zechariah tells us that this is what happens in verse 68. It's easy to miss in the English because the English kind of seems a bit vague. But the come to see and the redeemed sounds like God is always doing. Isn't God always doing that? Isn't God always seeing and redeeming his people? Well, no, it's much, much more strong and definite than that. It is literally God is coming down to visit our house. He's not coming to, like, have a look around. He's coming into our houses, our homes, into this world. And the second point is, he's coming to act. He's coming to do something. He's coming to act out the redemption that he has promised. This is what it means. God is coming down to earth to take action. I remember when I was young and all the family were coming to visit the house. Everything had to be cleaned up and all the tables and places needed to be set up for everyone. And it was really tense because my father was really tense and my mother was really tense, both completely different reasons. And then it was also really exciting that all these people were coming to visit. Just think about that. The Lord is coming to visit. It's both tense and exciting. He's coming to visit upon humanity. He is going to do something extraordinary. Praise be to the Lord God, is what Zechariah says in the song, the first line. Every Christmas he comes to visit upon us the person of Jesus, God's action to redeem us. Now, what happened that caused Zechariah to break out into an extraordinary claim that God is coming to visit upon humanity, his plan of salvation is coming into effect? Well, Elizabeth is pregnant. It's a bit of a shock. It's extraordinary. It's a miracle. Yes, barren old Elizabeth is pregnant. Elizabeth also has a difficult pregnancy. She has to stay inside for 5 months. So what happens at Elizabeth's birth? Nope. In verses 57 to 58, she gives birth. And what did everyone expect would happen? Well, they all thought that Elizabeth would die in childbirth. One, she's old. Two, she's laid up in the house for 5 months. The expectations of something going wrong are extremely high. And what do all the relatives and neighbors throughout the country do when they hear that Elizabeth and the baby survived? They respond by marveling in shock and wonder, total amazement at the miracle both mother and child survived. And what do they amaze and wonder at? God's mercy. God's great mercy shown towards Elizabeth. That's what they see. That's what they hear. That's what they share. They share this message with everyone of how God has been so merciful to Elizabeth and Zechariah. So he is good. And so they went about rejoicing with the same joy as Elizabeth. Everything went well. She's got the birth. She's holding her baby. See, two things happened. God's mercy was experienced by all. And the great joy infected the whole countryside, the whole of the hill country. Now let's look at Zechariah. He's been struck dumb for about a year. What did Zechariah do to get struck dumb, to make him not be able to speak? He really screwed up. He argued with the angel. You can go back and look at it later. He argued with the angel Gabriel about what the angel Gabriel was promising. Now the problem is that Zechariah, most of his job as a priest and as a servant of the people, was talking. And now he's dumb. Not stupid, just can't talk. He can't talk so effectively, he's unable to work. For a whole year, almost a whole year, he's unable to work and he just has to watch and wait and take care of Elizabeth. Finally, the baby is born. And after 8 days, they do what all Jews do. They circumcise the son. And now it was time to circumcise him according to the promises the Lord God had given in the law. It was also time to name the child according to the customs of the time. Which of these is more necessary, the circumcision or the cultural customs? Well, we'll see. Zechariah can speak. How does he come to speak? Well, first of all, it is the law according to the promises given to Abraham or the current cultural expectations. Every year I get trapped in this dilemma when Christmas time comes. I'm trapped every single year. Why are cultural customs given greater weight than the message about Jesus? I feel like the Christmas party is more important than the person's birthday. I feel trapped every single year. There are other things that are trapping me, but that one I always struggle with every Christmas. I don't know if it's getting better or if it's getting worse, but I feel trapped. And in some degree, there is this trap here because God has said through the angel Gabriel that he is to be called John. And the mother Elizabeth says he's been called John. But the experts, they disagree. And they're saying she's doing it wrong. So they propose that he be called Zechariah Jr. We've decided. Zechariah Jr., don't worry, Elizabeth, you're wrong. So what does Zechariah do? He asks for a tablet and then he writes down, he is called John. And at that moment, when he believed and acted out what the angel Gabriel told him, he was free to speak. Suddenly he could speak, and now he's able to praise God again. And the same word is used that happened for Mary's survival. They marveled, their wonder and amazement and shock. Another miracle happened. Being struck dumb and then instantly being able to talk again, that's not normal. Everyone would have thought that Zechariah was permanently disabled. Oh, he'll never speak again. Our bodies are funny things. Elizabeth, she might have been all right in our hospital system. Zechariah, well, you just do a brain scan and then you figure out which surgery to do and then poke it in and make it work again. But that's not their time. Their time is they don't have this kind of hospital system. They don't have this kind of medical care that we have today. That's what happened. Zechariah will be all right, just get the brain surgery. There's no such solutions for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their problems are unfixable except by a miracle. So, the people marveled in shock and wonder at these events. Firstly, Elizabeth's survival, and then secondly, and the kicker is here, Zechariah is able to speak again and speak the message of God. Now, this message didn't speak about the mercy of God's goodness. This was a message that caused fear. The fear of coming to know that the Lord is the strong one. He is the one who is powerful. He is the one who can do extraordinary things. So everyone is talking about the message and the story that they heard from Zechariah. Why is the hand of the Lord on this child? This is the question that people are asking and thinking. This couple have been given birth to a child in extraordinary circumstances. Miracles have happened, strange events. They are the faithful ones, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They are the known to be the ones who are godly and think about the goodness of God. They are the leftovers of God's people. They are not like most others. They are looking forward to the Messiah coming. They are steeped in the promises of God. And who is this miraculous child that they have produced? Zechariah explains. He explains who this child is. First, in verses 67 to 75, Zechariah explains the big picture of God's salvation. And then in verses 76 to 80, he explains the small picture of his son's part to play in the promises of God. And everyone should fear. So where do I fit in this big picture? What happened to me with Zechariah and Elizabeth? What is my part to play? What about the small picture of my life? This is all about Elizabeth and Zechariah and John, and it's way back in history. How does that help me? Well, Zechariah's song explains everything. Let's look at the big picture. This is about God and what he is doing. Salvation is God's responsibility. We don't get to decide or choose. We only get to receive God's mercy. Zechariah and Elizabeth believed that it is God's mercy that saves people. Let's just think about what Zechariah has to say. Hear the words again. Just give me a sec. I hate phones. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, his contract. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. The essence of this is that God is the strong one. God is the strong one, and he keeps his promises. And he has come to enforce his promises. He has come to rescue with strength and fierceness and boldness. That is the sense of what Zechariah is saying. The Messiah plan is in effect. The horn refers to the Messiah, not to John. It refers to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the strong one. Jesus is the strong king. He has seen, that is Zechariah, and heard from Mary already earlier in the chapter. This horn will deal with the violence and the hatred against God and his people. Because remember, we are the minority, and we are despised, and we are rejected as Christians. This is the same for Jesus. He told us and he warned us repeatedly that he will be despised and rejected. But he is the strong king, and he will rescue despite the hatred. The intervention of God is promised. The Messiah has arrived. This is the time. This is not a quiet intervention because it spreads fear. The visitation of God miraculously acting is scary for us human beings. It means that God is coming to take on more control. He's taking the world by its horns, and he will exact his promises upon it. There's no sense here that the arrival of the true human king is being gradually sneaked in. It's not sneaked in, it is loud. It becomes louder. A year later, terrible things happen. This is not a stealth mission. This is a message to be marveled at and shared. It is a message of strength. Now let's look at the small picture. It's small because it concerns us little people, but it also concerns the little baby John. So let us look at the small picture. Zechariah's son, plain words are spoken. John is clearly defined as a prophet. And then there's a whole lot of verbs attached to John. John will prepare. John will give. John will shine. John will guide. It's banging on us. This is what John has to do. John has to do all of these things, and it's going to put him in danger, and he's going to have to live in the wilderness, and he's going to have to live on honey, and he's going to wear wild clothes, and he's going to get into trouble, and then eventually someday someone's going to really, really like him and take his head off. But John will prepare. John will give. John will shine. And John will guide. John is a prophet of action. He is preparing people for Jesus and his work. He is the road of knowledge and forgiveness. It is said that he gave a baptism to wash away people's sins. Just think of what the words say here, verses 76 above. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, which the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the hope that Zechariah has for all people in this world. Now, there's an interesting thing there. It says something about darkness and something about light. So we've all got to participate in this one because you're all currently sitting in darkness. That's literally what it says. It says, sitting in darkness. I don't know if it's there in that text, but it is. Sitting in the darkness. So what does John do for everyone? He helps everyone to stand in the light. So let's all stand so we can stand in the light. Isn't that better? That's much better than sitting. Now all of a sudden you're able to stand with strength to act, to speak, to move. They can sit down again. Sitting in the darkness, John helps people to stand in the light. This is our mission of hope, to make the knowledge of Jesus known and nothing else. That's our mission of hope. So what is Christmas about? It's about Jesus. So why don't we talk about who Jesus is? I'm not really doing it today. Hopefully I'll do it next week more, because today is about John. But why don't we talk more about Jesus and who he is? I don't mean talk, say the name Jesus. Jesus did this. No, talk about him, who he is, what he has come to do, why, and that he is God's son, that he's beloved, that God is pleased with him, and what Jesus does and how he feels at various times. This is our mission, to tell the stories about Jesus. This is our Christian mission, to bring people into the forgiveness of God forever. Forgiveness that will last forever and ever and ever. That's our mission. That's what John and Zechariah tell us. That's what the promise is. Our hope will be defined by our actions, marveling at the work of God brings joy and fear. It is a message worth rejoicing in, but is also a message that brings fear. We must not forget that it does two things, not just one. The joy of knowing that God is merciful and the fear of knowing that God is the strong. Once we have this hope, we can be preserved and develop flavor. Like pickles. Lots of flavor. I need to stir this again. Lots of flavor. If you like, you can smell it later. Then we can endure anything in this world. We can, like Zechariah, trust in God, share in the goodness of God with people. We can stand in the light of the gospel until the judgment day, knowing that God is victorious. We need to be pickled in this certain hope so that we can endure and last forever. The certain hope that Jesus is our King, and Jesus is our rescuer. The strong King who forgives. Remember what it said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8? It was read to you earlier, but you don't remember. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of our God endures forever. I'm going to make a small comment about the word of our God. Most of the time, the word of God is referring to his message of the gospel. It just so happens that it's in the Bible. Second, most of the time, the word of the Lord also refers to Jesus. Interesting. So not only is the content of the gospel Jesus, but the word of God is also Jesus. And thirdly, where do we find this? In the Bible. So is the word of the Lord the Bible only? No. It's all of these things. So let us remember this, that what we carry with us is the message of the gospel, the message of the good news. Who is that good news but Jesus? And where do we learn and steep ourselves in that good news? It's in the Bible. So I hope to encourage you all that you will find your chili and your garlic and your salt, or whatever pickle flavors you prefer, in the Bible, so that you can remember the good news and tell people about Jesus. Because that is what John does. That's what Christmas is about.